This episode is brought to you by Benton Integrative Medicine, a concierge membership-based medical practice offering direct primary care, functional medicine, hormone and sexual health, and wellness and vitality programs.
At Benton Integrative Medicine, they look beyond symptoms to uncover root cause solutions, helping patients restore balance, energy, and well-being through a comprehensive and personalized approach.
Their team believes in medical freedom, informed choice, and patient autonomy, empowering you to take charge of your health with a trusted partner by your side. Learn more at bentonintegrative.com and discover how integrative care can help you thrive, body, mind, and soul. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
It's just us three today, and we called a last-minute podcast session because we know so many of you are trying to look through the news headlines and figure things out, and I can't tell you that we got answers for you today because we are trying to figure this out in real time as well.
We have opinions.
No shortage of opinions, and I don't know what if it is. Okay. Girls, what do you think it is? Do you think it's 2020 that's impacted us, or do you think that we're perimenopausal and that we're losing the happy hormone that makes us like nice and kind? Which is it that's made us like, we will say it now?
I think it's the perfect storm.
Gotta be. Like, I can't decide. Is it the world that changed that made me bitchy? Like, it just made me like, oh, I mean, I have had days where I'm like, I could fist fight somebody right now. I want
a book of Holly quotes.
No, y'all, Holly, I think this is
you should
this
see.
Is also like where you are in life too, because I feel like I've heard this about, like, for some reason I've heard, like, it's almost like when you turn it's like 50, because, you know, I used to think it was like 40, you stop caring, blah blah blah, which, yeah, like, I don't know about that. But I have heard it's like,
it's 50.
It's are not given anymore after
the
that.
The 50s.
Yes.
It is. There's no F's left to give. I'm like, yeah. I have no more progesterone or F's to give you. And so that's where I'm at now. And
good luck, guys.
Good luck, everybody. And you know what's, I think I'm so blessed that the people who love me are going to love me because they already know this is who I am. Like, this is me becoming more of what's already been in there. And so I know that, like, my friends are going to love me and my family's going to love me, even if I say horribly offensive things. And I'm like, and I think this is where, here's where I think it is, though. I think it's being motivated by this desire to see more courage in speaking out. I think we've fought that for so long. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't know that people who, Y'all love us because we'll stick our necks out, but you won't stick yours out. You won't understand this. But, like, it's not easy when you know. For example, I was thinking about this today. If the three of us ever decided to do anything in the mainstream publicly, right? Let's say we tried to have a mainstream podcast, or we were going to go work for, you know, let's say any of the news agencies, like, we couldn't, because now this is all recorded history out there and someone will take it. I'll be canceled tomorrow, right? There's no, like, we don't get, like, we're now in this, we're now being labeled as probably right wing conspiracy theorists. I don't know.
You're running for president now, Holly. Sorry.
Thank God, right? All my friends who've always tried to get me to run for office, it ain't happening. I'm not swimming in a swamp with swamp creatures. I'm not doing it. Like, I believe that you become like the people you're being around. Y'all, someone will either kill me or I'll kill them. Like, it will be violent. It will be violent. I don't want a violent end. I want to live peacefully. I want to live peacefully. But I do think that there's something in me that is like screaming, like, just say it. Like, I think most people are reasonable. I think most Americans, we don't agree on everything, but we agree in being reasonable. And now we're in all you seem to see are the extremes, left and right, that are loud and violent and bitter and wrong, you know? And that's one thing I was trying to tell my boys, because, you know, their generation is swinging right. And I'm like, boys, don't go too far. Like, you got to make sure we don't overcorrect here. right? Because on that far end is also hatred. On that far end is also deception. You know, it's the truth does tend to sit in the middle usually. You
and
know,
also like the unacceptance on all there. They all say that they're like, the, you know, you accept everyone, but you don't. Like you can't just have this one in the stay in a silo. This
That's
is
right.
why I've always been like, I want to see both sides and some, and I do. And there are definitely extremes and I don't ever want to be put in the box with an extreme on either side.
Even though I'm sure we are. But yeah, no.
And that's the thing. That's what's sad is that people do just because you may agree with somebody, but there's a lot of things that I agree and don't agree with our president or even before. Or if something happens, like, you know, even when Biden was elected, we've talked about this before. It's like, to me, it's like, yeah, he was not who I voted for sure. Everybody knew that, but I wasn't like, cry myself to sleep or, you know, whatever. I didn't like go into a deep, dark depression. I was just like, you know, let's just pray that we all don't die over the next 4 years and something right. that we survive. That
we survive. He would do a good job.
I was hoping for the best. I was like, you know what? Maybe it won't be as bad as we thought. Like, why can't we just all embrace that and be like, look, it sucks. This isn't who we chose, but we got to accept it and move on and do the best with what we've got.
Well, what we've run into now, they have so demonized Trump. They have so turned him into an evil villain in the minds of a portion of the population. They cannot see any good in him whatsoever. Whereas I do feel like those of us, let's take Obama, for example. I remember when he got elected, I didn't vote for him. But I remember what George Bush said, and I thought it was right, when he said, we want to see the White House do well. We want to see you do well. And I remember saying to friends, I wish him well and his well-doing. For every policy he enacts that's good for this country, I'm going to cheer him on. Now, for the things that he wants to do that I think aren't good for this country, Obamacare, I will not cheer him on. Okay. But as far as do I want him to do well? Yeah. And also, did I think, let's be real, having a Black president do well in America, I thought would be good for our country. And so I wasn't hateful. I thought Obama was probably a puppet in a lot of ways. I thought he had probably been positioned there by more people who were going to pull the strings. And I think that was in part probably true. But I was not against him. I was not against my own president. But they have so turned Trump into an evil villain in the minds of people. They absolutely cannot fathom. And this is where that cognitive dissonance that we've warned about for years. And we've said, look, we have to check our own cognitive dissonance. And I'll give you an example. This week, Dr. Peter McCullough and others put together a comprehensive review of, like, was it 750 studies, Kristen, of the causes of the triggers of autism. And this study came out and said, based on all these studies, the overwhelmingly number one trigger appeared to be vaccines. Well, when this got re-reported, it would just say, it's true. Autism is the number one cause. I mean, vaccines are the number one cause of autism. And what happened in there is, in the nuance of looking at the whole thing, what was missed was that there could be multiple factorial causes to autism. Vaccines possibly being number one. But what you saw on the right side was people almost misconstruing some of that information as well. And that's when we're like, hold on. The three of us definitely believe that vaccines are the number one cause in terms of the number of parents who say it happened after a well visit, okay? So we think that if you were to just look at families' feedback, it sure has seemed over the last two decades that vaccines are the most common trigger we're seeing. But I think all of us know that we are so surrounded by toxins now that we've been lied to about, whether it's how you're taking care of your lawn, how you're getting your food, what they're doing to our food, what we're putting in our bodies, medications, antibiotics, what it does to the gut. There can be multifactorial reasons that a child, finally, something goes on in their brain. And so what we try to do, Chris and Amy and I, is we go, look, we have very strong opinions about this. However, we're going to reserve the science to be the science. And we believe that now we can actually finally get something we've never gotten, which is actual science, peer-reviewed studies on vaccines, where there is a double-blind placebo trial done and testing vaccines with adjuvants, vaccines given with other vaccines, that we'll finally get that science. We're trusting that it is going to come out and we don't have to jump the gun on it. We have our gut feelings on it, but we're trying to not be biased and to let it play out, right, girls? Like, that's, and we're trying to do that in every facet of life, including this government shutdown. So girls, tell me what you're hearing about the government.
Well, before we move on to that, what I wanted to show is just, again, it was where people on a certain side have misconstrued and labeled it and went with it. It's just like the media is the virus, and it's the clicks, and it's like you want it so badly. And they took this study and this stuff, like, I mean, we posted about it, but we posted exactly what Focal Point said. We actually posted the study. I put the actual like quote from the study, and what it said was the totality of evidence supports a multifactorial model of autism spectrum disorder in which genetic predisposition, neuroimmune biology, environmental toxicants, perinatal stressors, and iatrogenic exposures converge to produce the phenotype of a post-encephalitic state, basically swelling of the brain. Okay, encephalitis, that's really kind of what is happening with autism spectrum. And it has to do, like you said, with toxins. And what's in vaccines? Toxins. And what's a lot, and they're getting bombarded with it in their tiny little immune system. And even on day one, and heavy metals that you can't detox from. And then it says combination and early time routine childhood vaccination constitutes the most significant modifiable risk factor for ASD, supported by convergent mechanism. I'll get through all that. But what they were trying to say is that the actual studies showed, the conclusion said, this landmark report reveals autism as a multifactorial disorder with intersecting genetic, environmental, and iatrogenic influences, but one dominant modifiable factor stands out. Combination and early timed vaccination emerges as a major driver of risk. So what it was saying was that that's the most prevalent. It's not saying, hey, we found the one and only cure, or the one and only cause, it is vaccines, period. But what a lot of people did is they saw that and they ran with it. And
they said, see, vaccines cause autism.
Right.
Yes.
It is a big factor, but that's not the only factor.
Yes.
And one more thing, because I know we're going over this, but I had to bring up when you were talking about like how nobody is allowed to even agree with, on a certain side, their side is not allowed to agree with anybody else. I have to bring this up. Y'all know we've had Jenna McCarthy, not Jenny McCarthy. We'd love to have her on, but yes. Jenna McCarthy on our podcast, and she is so freaking hilarious. Her Substacks are amazing. She shares amazing information with her humor. But I have to show y'all this. If y'all haven't heard, like Jamie Lee Curtis, apparently she was in an interview and she was emotional talking about Charlie Kirk. So not only was there Trump derangement syndrome, but also with Charlie Kirk. So if anybody on a certain side, people were celebrating his death and all this stuff. So she said that she didn't agree with anything that he said, but she said, I believe he was a man of faith. And I hope in that moment when he died that he felt connected to his faith.
And she
she was very emotional and crying. Even though I find what his ideas were abhorrent to me, I still believe he's a father and a husband and a man of faith. And I hope whatever connection to God means that he felt it. I mean, I have to applaud her for saying that. But guess what? Her people, that side, the left, like extreme, they said, yeah, I can't deny this one really stings. Not sure how I'm going to process that one, that one of my favorite actors of all time is a total F-tard, F-U-C-K-tard. And then someone said, I just collapsed. I can't believe it. All she had to do was keep her mouth closed, and now it's an absolute betrayal. I mean, it is just...
And then she walked it back.
And now she's going on, they said, like an apology tour. Basically, they said that it has been misinterpreted. Her compassion for Charlie has been, what did she say, mistranslated or misinterpreted. So she is basically, there's headlines everywhere for it. That is just absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
Well, as someone who claims to have courage, which is what she, when she walked it back, she said, I would say what I think. No, you did say what you think, and now you're apologizing for it. That's not courage. That's hypocrisy, Jamie. And really, shame on you. Shame on you for being so pulled by nonsensical, violent people who believe it was somehow okay for someone they disagreed with to be killed. And by the way, I seriously doubt that Jamie has listened to the full context of things that Charlie said. Because if you did, you would know he was not a racist. He was very loving toward the LGBTQ plus community when he interacted with them in multiple instances. It's like you disagree with, I disagree with Van Jones on a lot of things. But when I sit and listen to Van Jones have conversations with people he disagrees with, I actually love to hear the way with some people that they really can have a nuanced conversation that two different opinions, and it's respectful. And in that way, I respect Van Jones. Mm-hmm. And I bet there's things that Van Jones and I absolutely agree on, you know, but do I disagree with him on a lot? Yeah. But that doesn't make me hate him. That doesn't make me nothing. You know, there's times he says things I'm like, dude, that is so dumb. But at the same time, I have respect for someone that I think wants to have respectful discourse like Charlie did.
Right.
You know, is he and Charlie, as it turns out, were actually kind of going at it. And Charlie had inboxed him the night before he was killed. And Van Jones came out and spoke about that. Like, he was trying to have a conversation with me. It was not for mm-hmm. clickbait. It was, hey, let's have a respectful conversation.
Right.
And that's what we got to get back to. And I don't know how we get back to it, y'all, with people who, with this fringe that is just so, so far gone. I don't know how, unless we start honestly punishing people for their violence and really holding them accountable. Because I mean, these people attacking ICE agents in the street, have you seen those videos? What are we doing? And this is what's so wild to me. And maybe I know not everything is black and white, but I think at the end of the day, when I look at things like deporting illegal immigrants, it's like, what are we talking about? Like,
how are we having this conversation right now? How is this even like a conversation?
Illegal is the like keyword. That's when I go, I'm done. Like, actually, I don't think we can have a conversation because I'm done. And we now know, here's the other thing. I think we could all look around and go, we got a problem here in this country. The borders are out of control. We knew this, and we knew that, I mean, gosh, when you even have CNN talking about how bad the Biden administration was on border control. I mean, we know. And remember when they said it's not that bad? Oh, no, it was so bad.
But
y'all, now that the government is shut down, and so now we've got ICE deporting these agents, but now with the government shut down, we got our eyeballs blown wide open to SNAP benefits. Do y'all want to dive into that one?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, you know, not only are, you know, everybody's so upset that, you know, we're deporting illegals, now we're finding out they are also so upset and apparently shutting down the government because we aren't funding their health care and we aren't paying for everything for them as illegal immigrants. Do we call them illegal immigrants? I don't know. I like, this is where it's just bananas to me. I'm like, so is that the deal? Like, they are the one holdout is what I'm understanding is that Democrats want in this, what, bill or something, that they want health care for illegal immigrants.
This is just, I mean, this is from the USDA website, the official website. Senate Democrats have now voted 12 times to not fund the food stamp program, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Bottom line, the well has run dry. At this time, there will be no benefits issued November 1st. We are approaching an inflection point for Senate Democrats. They can continue to hold out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures, or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive critical nutrition assistance. We want people to be able to have this assistance available, and they do too. But I think the holdout is it sounds like the Democrats are trying to blame the Republicans, but it sounds like it's the Democrats that are holding back because they want the illegals to still be funded. And I feel like, how is that even a thing? Like, our taxpayer money should be supporting American citizens.
Well, absolutely it should. And I tell you what, just for the sake of time, we have a few clips we want to share with everyone. Let's just go ahead and play those. I think these people can say it even better than we can at this point. But let's start with Chris Cuomo, you know, former ABC news anchor, CNN. I think he's now with News Nation. He actually talks about Hakeem Jeffries, calls him out for lying, and does it here. So take a listen. Let's start with this one.
You are about to hear from the Democrats is not true.
The Republican partisan spending bill that they introduced is not clean.
Well, first of all, let's be clear. It's not a clean bill. It's a dirty bill.
Well, that's all a lie. It's not a clean continuing resolution.
Listen, I like Hakeem Jeffries. I think he's got an amazing future. He's got better fights than this. This is a clean CR.
What does that mean, by the way? Continuing resolution. Instead of passing a real budget like they should, this just says, hey, remember the last one? Let's just continue at those levels again, all right? Now, that may mean that certain people who should get less won't, certain people who need more won't, but a clean CR means that this is an extension from the last set of, in this case, Biden's spending levels, okay? That's what a clean CR is. This is a clean CR. Wait a minute, Cuomo disagrees with Jeffries. Jeffries must be right. Don't take my word. Take the word from the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. They say this is about as clean a CR as you could get. Okay, again, it's a continuation of a March stopgap measure, all right? Essentially, a continuation of spending levels from Biden, absent about $13 billion. But when you look at it as a function of the pie, it's literally a rounding error. I don't like that. It's a lot of money, but it's a rounding error. Again, don't take my word for it. How about taking this guy's word?
Allowing Donald Trump to take even much more power via a government shutdown is a far worse option. I believe it is my job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms to the American people. Therefore, I will vote to keep the government open and not shut it down.
And that CR he voted for is the same as this one. So what changed? AOC eyeing his Senate seat.
Why is the government shutdown not a both sides issue? Why are the Democrats to blame? Well, Democrats are using a short-term spending bill to push long-term policy changes that don't belong there. They've said it outright. They will not vote to reopen the government unless their healthcare demands are met. What they're demanding is an extension of temporary COVID-era spending that artificially lowered healthcare costs under the Affordable Care Act. Those measures were not part of the ACA itself. They were emergency subsidies created under the American Rescue Plan Act and later extended through 2025 by the Inflation Reduction Act. When that spending expires, the ACA simply returns to its original pricing framework. Not a spike, not a crisis, just a return to baseline after years of inflated relief funding. And yes, people will feel it. Premiums will adjust. But that's not because Republicans raised prices. It's because Democrats are refusing to admit that these subsidies were temporary. They're using the fear of higher costs, a perception they created, to justify holding the government hostage. And because Republicans are in full power, this is great leverage to make it look like it's their fault. Now, here's where it gets even more reckless. They're not just trying to extend the pandemic subsidies. They're also trying to reopen and revise parts of the One Big Beautiful Bill, a massive spending law that's already been passed and signed into law earlier this year. The One Big Beautiful Bill reshaped portions of Medicaid and other federal programs, and Democrats now want to undo sections of it by tying their changes to the current funding debate. Instead of debating revisions through normal legislative order, they're trying to squeeze them into the continuing resolution, which is a short-term bill that's supposed to do one thing, keep basic government operations funded. And that's the abuse here. A continuing resolution isn't a policy-making tool, per se. It's a bridge, a stopgap to prevent a shutdown while Congress negotiates the full budget, using it to rewrite sections of existing law, whether that's the pandemic relief measures or the One Big Beautiful Bill, is procedural malpractice. Again, not the right place, not the right time. Look, the Democrats are desperate. They are held captive by the socialist wing of their party, the Democratic Socialists of America. And they know the only thing they have to appease that base is empty rhetoric about Trump, MAGA, and the Republicans. So it's not really about healthcare, in my view, it's about control, about rewriting existing law through the wrong channel and using a temporary funding bill to do it. And as more people understand that, it'll be hard to unsee the man behind the curtain.
I saw an interview, and I don't remember who it was, but it was a Democratic somebody in politics saying that this is their last, their only piece of leverage.
Yeah, that's what she said. It's our only leverage.
And so it's like they are sacrificing everyone for that, just to have a little bit of a one up to be able to have a little bit more control, which is
when you have Jake Tapper on CNN telling the Democrats basically quit lying. You know, because all their talking points are, if President Trump, they are trying to blame President Trump. Trump has to sign a bill. Y'all got to get it to his desk. What do you mean? If right. President Trump, y'all pass the bill and people don't starve.
Right.
This is not the hill you die on, but it is if you're desperate. And they are. We're going into midterms. They're losing. This is all to create chaos. And then they were betting on the media to have their backs and tell the public it's Trump's fault. But what's happening is the Jake Tappers of the world, and gosh, even the girl, Erin, what's her name? They've been in interviews with Democrat senators going, hold on, no. That's when I go, okay, then I know there's something to this, is when you have the Jake Tappers of the world saying,
yeah. Right.
Well, and if they're wanting to create chaos, it's happening, because I don't know if y'all have seen, like, on social media, you know, lots of people are highlighting people getting on and talking about, you know, so upset that their benefits are going to run out because, you know, they aren't going to be able to feed their kids or have Christmas and buy like laptops and iPads and get their nails done. I mean, this is the whole thing. Like, I think we're just shining a huge, big, fat light on this program. And a lot of us are just, it's like kind of what we knew, and it's been going on for so long, but now we're really seeing like 42 or 43 million Americans are using this assistance.
One in eight.
You're telling me 1 in 8 people
yes.
cannot work.
Yeah. Well, they can.
So that's what I mean. Like, the program is supposed to be for people who cannot and need that help. Right. So we are learning. And also we're seeing that the vast majority of people that are getting this assistance are illegal aliens. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Well, there's, yeah. And I kept thinking, wait a minute. Illegal aliens? Because by the way, most recipients of SNAP are not American-born citizens. That was the other thing that was like, whoa. So let me get this straight. They come here and then live off of us? What in the Sam Hill? What are we, like, no. Our husbands work, what we do, the sacrifices we make, the checks we write to the U.S. government every year. And it is for foreigners to come live in my country on my dime? And you can call me whatever you want. Again, as a reminder, I have no progesterone or F's left to give any of y'all. Okay? I do not. So don't care. This is a problem. Let me take care of my neighbors first. My natural born neighbors. And no, I'm not immigrant. Because God knows, I ain't Nick Fuentes. I can't stand that kid. Let me just say, there are points to be made here that, like, get your own house in order first. Then you can help. But, like, this is where it's going to blow up in their face. You're letting the majority of people paying the tax bill know what they're paying for now. See, Doge wrecked the Democrats, wrecked them.
Yes.
Because we saw where our money was going. And this is why people have issues with Israel, and it's getting conflated with anti-Semitism. There are real anti-Semites out there. But then there are people who say, we need to quit giving so much money to Israel. We got our own problems. I get that argument. We've got to, like, we got to reassess. We need a good, big, fat audit, and we need to reprioritize, and we need to take care of Americans who are working first, and for those who cannot help themselves. And they are out there, and they will always be with us. Those, yes. But the girls stealing from the grocery store, doing TikToks about it, we should play it, and then telling people what she stole, and acting like she's entitled to it. Her ass belongs in jail.
Yeah, we definitely need to share that. But I will say, this is from Coffee and COVID yesterday, I think, because I want y'all to know, truly, Trump has been trying to figure this out. And it says, back in July, the administration demanded states turn over SNAPers' immigration status, but blue states refused. New York Attorney General James, she tweeted one day saying, we're filing a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's illegal demand for SNAP recipients' personal information, including immigration status. Families should be able to get the assistance they need without fearing that they will be targeted by this administration. Why would they not want to share what their immigration status is unless you know that the vast majority of them are illegal. I mean, I personally, look, we all love everybody. All right. Well, I can't say I love everybody, but I want everybody to be healthy and survive and thrive. And I don't want anybody to suffer. But at the same point in time, it's also not our job to take care of, especially people who are here illegally. Let's prioritize American citizens first. That should be the criteria. That should be number one criteria. Hey, yes, we will help you. Our taxpayers' dollars, the American taxpayers' dollars, yes, will go to American citizens. So all these, like, all these things saying 42 million Americans on SNAP, I'm like, they're not.
No, they're not Americans.
And I think it's very strange that they did not want to give them that information.
They use the word target. This is like, they're just the rhetoric, you know, it's like, we don't want these people being targeted by Trump. And this is the whole mindset that people feel like they make it like, oh, you're a target. Like, and that word has a negative connotation when you feel like you are being targeted. And so it's just like, even just the simple language that they use, you know, you can just.
Well, and then in Minnesota, you remember how we were saying the borders are open because they're going to buy the votes. And then people were going, no, that's not true because illegals can't vote. Lies upon lies. Guess what they can do in Minnesota now? Did y'all see this? They can get a driver's license as an illegal immigrant. Guess what you need to register to vote in Minnesota? A driver's license. They had a hearing in the legislature in Minnesota said, hey, hold on. So we're giving people driver's license and they're not legal immigrants? Yes. And then all they need is a driver's license to register to vote? Yes. Okay, then do you see the problem?
Connect the dots.
Meanwhile, score another one for the conspiracy theorists. There you have it.
And meanwhile, my daughter just got her license and they were not even actually going to even let her do the test if we didn't have our change in insurance. Not only did she need her school records, her driver's license, her social security card, like all these things.
Birth certificate.
I couldn't even have an email that we had added her to our insurance. I couldn't even have an email, or it had to be a printed out copy. Whereas they can go get, how can they get a driver's license that easily when it's that hard for us? And why do we have to have we're going to have an interview about this, the digital ID. Stay tuned. You do not have to have the digital ID. Please know that. But they're trying to make it seem like it is required for us to have that, where they will track everything. You want to talk about personal information? You will never have anything personal ever again. And they want to push that, but then they want you not to know who's having the SNAP benefits or who's voting.
And then did you see the Somalian that's running for government, for mayor in Minnesota, waving the Somali flag, speaking in another language, pledging his allegiance to Somalia, and asking for people in Minnesota to vote for him. But guess what? They can all go register to vote.
Right.
And be illegal. This is how you fundamentally destroy America from within. And that's why I'm going to go back to what I just said earlier, and you can call me whatever you want. I promise I don't care, because you're wrong. But also because here's the thing. The truth is that we have a problem when you're bringing in people who don't love this country and allow them to have power in this country to affect changing this country.
Mm-hmm.
If we want this country to be American based on our beliefs and the way that we founded this country, we can't let people who hate us, who don't respect women, who will stone and kill LGBTQ people, we can't allow them to take over. So, and that's just part of it. And also, you know, now you got a lot of African-Americans speaking out against the fact that they also will replace the Black vote in the Democratic Party. So you start, you know, they're like basically saying that the Democrat Party has catered to Black Americans to get their vote. Now that they're losing them, now they're just going to cater to the illegals, to the other end.
The border was wide open for 4 years.
That's right.
And that was, you know, I mean, if you look at everything, and I'll die on this hill, but that was like my single issue for not voting for Kamala. I mean, all I needed to see was that you were those videos of people pouring over here. And, you know, like there were many other issues, but I'm saying you could just take that one. And that was enough for me. I wanted to read this to a girl named Blake. This was her post today. And I loved her thoughts on the whole thing, because I feel like resonate with her. She usually has the same thoughts. But she says 42 million Americans could lose their SNAP benefits this weekend. That's 1 in 8 people in our country. And I believe that we can talk about this with both compassion and clarity.
Yes.
We can have compassion for families suddenly losing their benefits and recognize how jarring that must be while still asking, why are so many Americans dependent on the government for their nutritional needs? SNAP was created in 1939 to help low-income families afford basic groceries and support American farmers by using up surplus crops during the Depression. What started as a safety net has grown into a system of reliance, one that replaced what was meant to be the work of families, communities, the church, with the government. At the most basic level, caring for the vulnerable was never meant to be outsourced to the government. It's the church's calling. She says, we haven't done it perfectly, but Christians in America still lead the way in generosity. That aside, we can still see the benefits of a safety net for those truly in need, but we also have to acknowledge when that net becomes a system of dependence and abuse. Wanting accountability for how our tax dollars are spent isn't cruel. It's wisdom and stewardship. It's not heartless to acknowledge that many people could work, but choose not to, because government dependence has made comfort easier than contribution. But comfort built on dependency always collapses. Not everyone on SNAP is lazy or gaming the system. Not everyone who wants welfare reform is cold-hearted. As I pray for those affected by this, I'm praying it becomes a wake-up call for many, because a good government that can feed you can also starve you.
That is so good.
Yes.
I love that.
And I love the one, it's like so many people protesting no kings, but just like what she said, the government can feed you, the government can starve you.
And if how many of the
government for your food, you don't want a king, but you're relying on the government to feed your family.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing I wanted to also play. Oh, shoot. And I'm going to lose it. There was we have J.D. Vance talking about allowing millions of illegals to swarm the U.S. I thought this was, it's worth sharing. Let me play this one for y'all.
Without asking permission, I think that's illegal, but I also think it delegitimizes the entire immigration system in this country. Okay. Our immigration policy is set in theory, by democratic policy. You vote for congressmen and women. They enact the immigration policy. The President of the United States enforces that immigration policy. When you have millions upon millions of people coming into this country illegally, it violates the fundamental social contract that the American people get to make our immigration law, not a lawless American president completely disregarding that law. And that's what happened, is a lot of Americans looked at our border and said, wait a second, they're actually violating the law to let people come in, which drives up the cost of housing, actually has a lot of people competing for Americans or competing against Americans for American jobs. And you do it in this fundamentally illegitimate way, because if Joe Biden stood before the American people and said, I'd like to let 5 million low-wage immigrants into this country every single year, the American people would say no. But he didn't ask the American people. He just did it without asking permission. I think that's illegal, but I also think it delegitimizes the entire immigration system in this country. Okay. Our immigration policy.
So that's, I think he's just laying out the point. It's not racist. It's not, it has nothing to do with anything other. Preserving the rights of Americans first. That's it. We're paying, we build it. We're paying for it. We're contributing to this society. We're working it. It's literally just, it's just common sense that you cannot overburden the workers. You cannot overburden the workers for people to sit there and be lazy. And honestly, the number of videos that we could show y'all of people being entitled, fully capable. Here's one. This is just Kendall in Kentucky, but I thought y'all
love her. 1 million people receive SNAP benefits. That's 12% of the population. And that government assistance program, which is actually really just the taxpayers who are flipping that bill, we are making it rain to the tune of $99 billion just in 2024. Is there a need for SNAP? Absolutely. And I think I speak for all taxpayers who say that we are willing to help out the people who are in need. This is a program that is meant to give assistance. It is meant to give you a temporary leg up until you can get into a different situation, a different life circumstance. But just like McDonald's isn't a career, SNAP is just meant for a moment of time. It's just a snap. People need it, but we can also agree that there are way too many people taking advantage of the system, and you can spot them. You're in line at the grocery store, and you're in front of a woman who's 100 pounds overweight because she's eating too much processed food and too much food, and she's reaching into her Louis Vuitton purse with her freshly done nails, reaching for her card. Like, that's someone who's taking advantage. That's also the same individual who's threatening to, on November 1st, rob you of your groceries in your cart when you leave. I think maybe a better idea and maybe a way to weed out some of these people is to send a monthly box to people with the essentials, things that you need, the protein and the vegetables and dairy. And then lastly, on November 1st, when you don't receive your benefits, remember that that's because the Democrats decided to shut down the government. They are prioritizing over you. These are people who came across our border illegally and they have committed a crime in doing so, and they are criminals, and they want them to have more rights than you. 43.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell right there. I mean, it truly is.
And then I read to you about get this fact. Let's just stick with facts, okay? The average female who gets no free food from the government weighs 146 pounds. The average SNAP recipient is 211 pounds. Nobody could benefit from a nice fast more than SNAP recipients, is what she said. Sorry, I didn't mean to read that part. But I do think.
That's interesting because you see what people are eating, and it's like the processed food is cheaper.
Yep.
But it's like we are paying for this. Not only do we pay for our family's groceries, we pay for your family's groceries while you get sicker. Then we pay for your health care when you get sick.
Well,
and another point is, I'm just thinking of like where Blake had talked about, like when it was started, it began and with the intention of like surplus from farmers. So why is it all this processed foods? Like, to me, if there is, I love the plan, like what Kendall said, I love that idea. Like, why don't we have like a produce box? Like, let's send them like healthy essentials, or have it where these are, I mean, like, honestly, every American needs to be healthier. Everybody does, you know? But if you think about it, like when they have this limited income, the cheapest foods are the most processed. And so that is a sad fact. So again, I feel like they should be incentivized to work out. They should be incentivized to be healthy. They should be incentivized like to get a job or to move up in society and contribute. Like, what if you get maybe more money until you get to this point? Like because when you show that you've kept a job for one year or you've done something. I don't know. It's just things that like I tried to think about.
That's smart and common sense. And the problem is that what we have learned and figured out is that they are not incentivized to get off of this assistance. We all kind of in our minds were like, okay, this is just a temporary help out. Let's help people get on their feet. No. When you start making money, like if you make you, they cap you at like, you can't make any more than this amount or else you won't receive these benefits. And sometimes there's like a little bit of a like, well, I can make this much, but then it's not enough for me to feed my family for that month. So I guess I need to like not get a better job because I still need. And so it's like an entrapment. It's slavery.
Yes, it is. And I've watched it and we've talked about this. I have some cousins that are on government assistance that are able-bodied and they honestly, we're like, hey, would you like a job doing things you're good at? Like, you know, all of us who work hard and have made something of our lives are always trying to reach and help our family too. And say, hey, would you like a job doing this? You're a great chef. Would you like to work? They'll hire you. Well, how much are they going to pay me? Because if I make X, then I don't get my benefits. And so they are, and we keep saying, you're enslaved to the government.
Yep.
You have no power over your life. You are enslaved to this thing. But y'all, it's a mindset. It is a mindset.
But I will say, there is a mindset, but I do have, like, I know people that have been in it, a single mom that maybe got clean from drugs, a single mom, and she's trying to get on her feet, and she has it. She's working. She's only making a certain amount. She's working. She's getting the assistance because it's helping her with childcare so that she can work. It's helping her feed her son that she can work. But then if she gets to this point, like it's the gap. There is a gap where like you get here, but only way for you to be able to afford what you're doing in the healthcare, the childcare, all this stuff, it's for you to get like over here, but it's like right in the middle. Like, what do you do here? And like, she's trying, or she can't get a second job. If she got a second job, she doesn't get government assistance, you know? So these are four. I did see somebody say, you know, like, you know, you've got to think these are the people who said yes, like when they got pregnant and didn't want to be in, or, you know, couldn't provide, but they're trying their damn hardest. Like, to me, this is just like you said, Amy, this is or maybe you, Holly, but both, either way, it's shining a light. No matter what, everything that's happened, especially since 2020, there's just different subjects that are just getting out. The silver lining is it's exposing what obviously is not working. That's and right. It's going to wake different pockets of people up every single time. And this is waking more people up. Just the fact that Jake Tapper and CNN or whatever, that they are even like disagreeing with some of this, with the Democrats. Yeah. Y'all, that's a huge, huge step. That would have never, ever happened. So
never.
It just shows that, like, hey, we need something, but this is not what we need.
We can all agree that we know for a damn fact that it is not a every one in eight Americans is unable to work.
No.
Yes, one in eight.
Sure.
You walk outside, you go walk around your city, your state, you travel. Like, there is no way you're going to convince any of us that 42, 43 million Americans right now literally cannot work.
And if they can't, then we need to look at our healthcare system. We need to look at the doctors. This is neglect. We need to look at our food system. We need to look, which is what we are. Take the dyes out. Take the crap out. Stop putting toxins in everything, ruining our water, ruining our health. Because if they can't work, why?
I got a spouse, a cousin, and her husband both on disability, but I don't know what the disability is. I'm dead serious. And again, I'm just saying, yes. And I shouldn't have to say this. And I feel like our listeners are reasonable people. 100% we should help people who can't help themselves. Situations like Kristen's talking about. Anyone who knows me knows how benevolent I am. I will give and I will bust my ass to make sure if I can help you, I'm going to do it. I just am so done with us being bullied into submission and silence over these issues. And they're going to call us bigots and racists and elitists and that. And all three of us come from hardworking backgrounds, and we've replicated that hard work in our lives. Our husbands have done the same. Ain't nobody lazy in our houses, okay? So, yeah, I feel like I can sit here and say, enough. You do yourselves no favors. Any of these people who are doing these videos, showing, complaining about what they don't have. First of all, you got an iPhone you're recording the video through. You got an iPhone in a car you're sitting in. And you got time. Oh, and you got time to record this.
And you don't look like you're disabled to me.
No.
You look like you got a lot of fire and a lot of energy, a lot of pep. You could get a job.
I saw one lady saying her 12 baby daddies. 12. And here's the thing, again.
Again,
it's just abusing a system, and the system allows itself to be abused. Okay, so people will do what they get allowed, what they get away with. That's human nature. So we got to fix a system that, like you guys said, rewards them for being on it and gives them zero incentive to get off of it. Because it should be, as we said, a snap. Should be just a snap. That's it. You get it when you need it, and then you work to get off of it, and there's incentive for you to get off of it. And now that this is in our faces, I'm so disgusted. I'm disgusted. We've let it get here.
Well, now it's in our faces, and I think that we can... There's no way that we can just go back to what it's been. Like, now that everybody's seen, right? Don't you think that there's going to have to be some changes, some reform, something? And there's, I mean, I don't know what's about to happen on November 1st. You know, there's people out on these social media platforms saying they're just going to start going and robbing people. There's probably going to be protests. There's probably going to be shit burning down.
They let this continue, and we'll see. There's a couple who are starting to call for the Democrats to be done with this. Quit the stalemate. Let's just stop. But it's going to be interesting to see if they let it keep going and if they do let these people lose their benefits. Like I said, George Floyd riots. Who was burning stuff down? Like, who is going to riot, y'all? Let's just say, historically speaking, looking at facts, who would you bet on rioting? Well, it's not the mom who's worked 60 hours this week to feed her family. She ain't got time to riot.
Right, right.
That's who's not rioting.
Right.
It's the people without jobs.
Without jobs, but they're running around with lots of physical, I don't see any disabilities.
No, and stealing. And that's the thing. All this contributes to making prices higher for the taxpayers. Our food prices go up because of this. I mean, that's the other part that's come out. It drives our food prices up. And then stealing also makes everything more costly. Because somebody's got to eat that.
Right.
So do you see what I'm saying?
Businesses suffer, and we need our local businesses, our American businesses to stay in business.
It's
just like, it's that sense of entitlement. Like they owe me this food and I'm just like, that's just where it's hard. It's like when you've got people like us working our butts off, so many people struggling to make ends meet, can barely pay for gas in their car or feed their families, and they're not even on this assistance, but then yet they're paying taxes.
Yeah.
And they're paying for your food, and it's real, like a slap in the face to hear somebody like that say, you owe me, you know? So I think we can just all agree, you know, just to wrap
and listen,
it up.
Let's go support our local food banks. Let's go support our local food banks and let's give to anybody we know that needs it. Let's help them get their food. Let's do our part. I'm just saying, I'm not here for the entitled. Yeah. I'm here for the helpless. I'm not here for the entitled. Yeah. And there is a big difference.
Big difference.
And also, you think we owe you something the way you talk about us, the way that some of this population speaks about those of us who do work hard and do pay taxes. I don't want to keep doing this. I do want to keep doing it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I think it's so unhealthy and it's so bad for the culture. It really is. It's so bad. So anyway,
this is a turning point or a tipping point or something. It's going to be something. And we're about to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, also something else to keep your eyes on, everybody, is, you know, Nixon resigned. Watergate was over one incident of him spying of his people spying on another political campaign. Now we know the Biden administration was spying on the Trump campaign for years. It's come out, the Department of Justice, all the disclosures that have come out. And I feel like that's getting buried. Like it's just getting buried. Some Republican senators or congressmen have called it the biggest scandal in American history, where a political opponent was going after spying on TPUSA, spying on any kind of conservatives, spying on senators who just were Republican, wasn't because of any other thing. That is such an infringement of their rights. And the fact that, and I think we all wonder, is anything going to happen to have you heard that now they're like, just, he's gone now, leave him alone. He was gone when he was in office, but that was still happening. Somebody needs to pay for this.
Hey, when they start attacking Trump or keep attacking him when he's out of office, we're going to turn that around and just say he's gone now.
He was out of office and we said, leave him alone. He's out of office. And then here they are.
Right.
But that's the point. You didn't leave Trump alone when he was out of office.
It only works.
After him, Letitia James. And I hope I really do. She goes to
karma. Karma's coming for her.
Let's hope. Let's hope it works in her, because gracious. And it's not just her. It was all of them. It was all of them. Just, it's so gross. And again, Trump is no saint and Trump is not perfect. And we are not Trump worshipers over here, but we know corruption when we see it, and that political corruption and the way that the media has so demonizes him, but gives the left a pass all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, just, this is why we're pissed. This is what it is.
The media, like if it was fair coverage on both sides, like if they criticized Biden, yes, if they criticized Trump,
it'd be
if
great.
They were being critical of both sides, we wouldn't be like trying to be or more supportive of Trump. We would just be like, okay, this
it
makes
pushed
sense.
Us to Trump.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glaringly obvious how they treat one side versus the other. And it's just,
remember y'all when he used to say things and we'd be like, oh my God, shut up. Just stop talking. Right. I say that less now. Now I'm just like, let him talk. I don't care. Like at this point, they've so tried to destroy this man. You say whatever you want. I don't even care anymore. And that's terrible. Like I do want there to be more decorum. I would like there to be more respect. I would, but like sometimes when I think about all the unfair things that happened, I'm like,
you know what? I think that I'm not condoning it all, because I remember thinking, how can he be so childish and immature and everything? Now I laugh at it. It's just like, it's hilarious. I'm like, it's so stupid and silly and immature sometimes, but I'm just like, I just chuckle. But I do think that it's one of those things. It's just like when you tell your kids like 5 times to do something and they never listen until you yell.
Yeah.
Or something. It's almost like that's the only way people are paying attention, because of how he presents things. And because one of my favorite things recently was when they were asking him about the cartels, like saying, well, world, are you just going to declare war? And he was like, no, I just want the criminals dead. We're going to kill them. They're going to be dead.
We're going to kill them dead.
I mean, it's just like, it's hilarious, but true. It's like, we don't need all this other BS.
I don't need an act of Congress to kill drug smugglers into our country. I actually don't need Congress to approve that.
No.
That's actually common sense.
Right. No. You don't have to phone a friend for that.
No. You do not have to phone a friend. No. And the other thing that I just appreciate about him is, like, I know exactly what he's thinking, because it comes out.
Yeah.
And I trust somebody, even if that thing, I don't agree with them. I trust him because he says.
There's no prompts. He's not pulling up notes. He is not. And sometimes there's no speed bump between the brain and the tongue. Sometimes he doesn't need to say what he said, but at the same point.
Well, that's why you know that he's typically telling the truth. Because if you're a liar, you have to be slick tongued. You have to think about it. You have to come up with your way you're going to say it and everything. And he's just like, bleh.
He writes on Twitter and Truth Social, like he's issuing us a memo as our boss. He's like, thank you for your attention to this matter. He's like, okay.
He has a t-shirt that says that. Thank you for your
attention to this matter.
In all caps.
Okay. But then when he was standing up there with Kennedy, and I felt so bad for RFK that day when he went on the Tylenol rant for 30 minutes and we were all texting each other like, dude, stop talking. But you know what came out of that, though? This is what's crazy, because I know RFK was dying inside, and Dr. Oz, I'm sure I'm at Oz.
They were like, oh my God, we backtrack.
But you know what he did? He just spotlighted it. It's like, whereas the press could have just been like, nothing to see here, because they went after Trump for saying it, then it brought it into the collective conversation. Now people are like, maybe I shouldn't take Tylenol. No, really, I would suggest you didn't if you don't have to. Like, it should be last resort drug. Try not to take it. It's really bad on your liver.
Yeah. Okay?
It depletes your glutathione, which you need to get well. That is fact. Fact. And so then when they go after Trump, then it gets put back out there that Tylenol actually tweeted out in like 2017. Yeah, don't take this it's probably better that you not take it if you're pregnant. How did that slip under the radar? Right? So again, even though he's a wrecking ball, I try to explain Trump to people all the time who go,
I envision Miley Cyrus's wrecking ball.
It's just that video. It's like, he is it. And if you can understand that there is a purpose in a wrecking ball, when you are up against behemoth institutions of corruption, right? Just behemoth movements of corruption, then you appreciate the wrecking ball. The wrecking ball is not neat, tidy, or clean in any way, but it is necessary. And I don't know of another human in America who could have done what he did, put up with what he did, and accomplished what he did without being who he is. And so I have to accept him for who he is. And I don't hate him. I've never hated him. There's times I've been angry at him. But I've never hated him. But the people who do, you've got to put away your cognitive dissonance and crawl out of the holes you live in, so that you can like see some daylight and see that, you know, not everything he does is bad and it's actually been good for you. And by the way, as a lot of people have pointed out, he's taken some plays out of Bernie Sanders' playbook on this drug stuff that he's doing, you know, where he's getting the drug prices, helping Mark Cuban. He's doing things that are not Republican. I'm grateful for, actually. I think he's doing what he feels is right, and he's taking a businessman approach to running the government, which I have said since I was probably 18, that's what we need. I've watched businessmen in my life be effective leaders and run things effectively. And you got to run America like a business. You just do. So with that said, anything else? Did we miss anything? I'm sure we did.
I'm sure we did, but it's all right. We'll just share it and we'll talk about it later.
And thank you, audience, for not canceling us, especially me. But I don't, but literally, y'all, maybe that's what we're here to do. I think about this a lot, y'all. Maybe what we're here to do is normalize the conversations so that you can have these conversations with your friends and you can say things and you cannot be bullied into silence, that you can speak out. And listen, you can do it in love, but love isn't always feel good. But I do love our country and my neighbor enough to say, we have got to stop the abuse. We got to stop it. This is ridiculous.
So. Absolutely.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.